And it's not going to be the same message that I preached the last time. I think I've preached at least three. This will be my third sermon from Numbers chapter 21 this year. So the Lord's been, the Lord's been helping me, speaking through me. I've been reading through Numbers and the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and doing some studying in these books. And I've just been stuck in Numbers chapter 21, I guess, for a while. And the Lord's really showed me some things there. And I hope the message this morning will be a blessing and an encouragement to you, for those of you who are here. And I know it's a small crowd. I don't know what's going on. Well, Periakta is going on. The spring festival is going on. That might be, and the prom was last night, and everybody's been out dancing and doing all that kind of sinning stuff. But I'm glad you came here this morning and are here to hear the Word of God preached. And I really hope and pray that the message will be a blessing to you. God really, really helped me this week as I prepared for this message. And we're gonna start reading, I guess, in verse number 12. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 12. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zared, and from thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is, the well, whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matanah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. Lord, help me to preach, Lord, as feeble and as weak as I am, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me and use me, Lord. I know that I can do nothing without you, Lord. I acknowledge, Lord, my own unworthiness, God. And, Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance, Lord, this morning. I don't want to get in your way today. I just pray, Lord, that you would set me aside and, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might do a work in our hearts this morning. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the people here this morning that have come to hear your word preached. I pray, Lord, that they would get something out of the message, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts, Lord, encourage them, uplift them. And, Lord, as we exalt the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, today, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us, Lord. I pray that you'd encourage us, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us the power that we need, Lord, this week to live a godly Christian life and to be a testimony and a witness in this town. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, for those souls, Lord, here in Barrow that are without you. Lord, many people, Lord, here in Barrow, Lord, are searching for some kind of satisfaction, Lord, and many of them are searching in the wrong places, Lord, to find it. And we just pray, Lord, for those who are, caught up in the devil's trap of sin, God, that you would set them free, and that, God, you would use us to be lights and, Lord, to be testimonies in this town for you. In your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Well, I know this next week, I think, is, isn't that when taxes are due? Taxes are due, I think, this coming week. And I tell you what, I don't look forward to taxes. That's something about life. I just, you know, they say, you know, there's only two things that are sure in life, death and taxes. And I tell you what, I'm not a big fan of taxes, but I heard about two tax collectors who died and went to heaven. And they got up to heaven and they were waiting to get inside the gates. And ahead of them were two preachers, two pastors. And the angel saw these two tax collectors standing behind them, and he motioned to them to come ahead of them. And he let them in the gates before the preachers. And the preachers were like, whoa, wait a minute, why did you do that? Didn't we do enough to spread the good word in the world? And the angel said, yeah, but these two IRS agents put the fear of God in more people than you ever did. And I'm telling you what, when they start going over your tax reports and all that kind of stuff, you do a lot of praying. You really do. But amen. Anyway, it's good to be here this morning, and I'm glad that you came. And I hope this message this morning will be a blessing to you. Here in Numbers chapter 21, after the children of Israel had been bitten by the fiery serpents for speaking against the Lord and against Moses, and we talked about that last week, and we talked about how God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and to set that serpent upon a pole, and God promised that everyone who had been bitten, if they would just look to the brass serpent, they would be healed. And those who looked and those who obeyed the command of God lived. And they went on, the Bible says, in verse number 10, the Bible says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched an obol. And what a thing that is for them to go through something that they went through because of their sin, really, and because of their disobedience. They complained and they got out of the will of God, and they began to murmur, and they began to rise up against Moses, and they sinned against the Lord, and they admitted that they had sinned, and God provided them for a way to be healed, and the Bible says they pressed forward, they pressed on. And you know, the Bible says we need to forget the things that are behind and press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Many times we fail God. Many times we get out of God's will, and we fall on our faces and we say, Lord, we've sinned. Lord, we've done wrong. Please forgive us. And we're able to get up, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and we're able to get up and we're able to go forward for God. And that's exactly what the people did here. The Bible says Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Ai Abiram, and from Ai Abiram they pitched in the valley of Zared, and from Zared they journeyed to Arnon, and from Arnon they went to a place called Beer. Now, I know that these places you probably are not familiar with, and I looked them up on a map and found them all, and they're it's just in that they're all in that area, and they're called by different names in different places, but they're all there. They're all real places. And the Bible says they stopped at this place called Beer. Now, that word means a well. That word means a well. And by the way, it wasn't a beer well, so don't get any funny ideas. That's not the kind of well it was. But verse 16 says they went to Beer. That is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, gather the people together, and I will give them water. When the people arrived at Beer, the Bible says in verse 17, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. When we were ministering in Wainwright just a few years back, the young people there loved to sing this little chorus, and it went something like this. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Now, they sang it a whole lot better than I sing it. And it sounded good, believe me. And these kids really got into this song. They loved this song. They made us sing it every Wednesday night. I mean, in youth group, we could not finish without singing that song. If we forgot to sing that song, during the preaching, they'll sometimes would say, hey, we forgot to sing that song, and we'd have to sing it before we were done. And they really got into it, though. They would be seating, and of course, when they were singing the I've Got a River of Life part, they were clapping, and then when it came to the spring up, oh well, they would spring up out of their seats, and some of them would jump high and touch the ceiling, and boy, that bugged Pastor Carlson. He didn't like that. When they jumped up and touched the ceiling and messed the ceiling tiles up, he got on them about that. But they just had fun singing that song, and they would sing it every Wednesday night. Now, whenever I read this passage of Scripture, whenever I I read through Numbers chapter 21 and I read that verse, I'm reminded of that song. And that song comes to my mind, and I begin to sing that song to myself or out loud, and the kids will look at me and think I'm crazy or something. But no doubt the writer of that little course was inspired to write that song, to put it to music by this chapter and this verse here in Numbers chapter 21, where it says, Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." Now, their song, the people's song to the Lord, here this that day that they were singing this song, was a prayer of praise. It was first of all a prayer of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for all that He had done for them. Now, I'm sure that when Moses gathered the people together and told them that God was going to give them water, I'm sure that they were reminded of the time when they were in a similar situation. And they were in the desert. They were in a dry and barren place, and there was no water for them to drink. And they began to murmur and complain to Moses because that there was no water. And they blamed Moses. Moses didn't have anything to do with it. What did he have to do with it? I mean, he didn't make that part of the world. God did. But they complained to Moses. And, of course, God said, okay, this is what you need to do, Moses. And God told him to speak to the rock, and God brought forth water out of the rock. And I'm sure as the people were gathered together again and they were in the same situation, they didn't have any water, and I'm sure that they were reminded at this instance of the time that God had provided them water out of the rock in the wilderness, out of the rock in the desert. And I'm sure that they were just lifting their voices up in praise to God because they knew and they were remembering a time in their lives when they were in a similar situation, but God provided for them. So they lifted up their voices in prayer and praise to the Lord for His marvelous provision in their lives. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What a thing that was, that rock in the desert that God told Moses to speak to and that brought forth water out of the people for the people to drink and all of their cattle and all of their beasts. That was the rock. That Jesus Christ was that rock, the Bible says. And they were singing a song of praise to God here when they sang this song in Numbers chapter 21, verse 17. Now, not only was this song a song of praise, but it was also a request that God would again make Himself known to them in a great and mighty way. And spring up, O well. As I've thought about this story and as I've thought about this song and this circumstance here in the Bible that the people were in, spring up, O well has been my prayer and my song this week. It's been the song on my heart this week, and I know God sure has blessed me. God has been good to me. I stand amazed at how good the Lord has been to me and to my family. And you know, I want God to keep my cup full. I don't want to dry up spiritually like so many Christians today. I want God to fill my cup to overflowing. And that is my prayer. Spring up, O well, within my soul. So this morning, I just want to share with you some wonderful truths in God's Word concerning the life-giving water that God has made available and accessible to every parched, thirsty soul. The Bible has a lot to say about water. You read through the Bible and you'll find verses about wells and about fountains and about rivers and streams. And we could really go into depth this morning. Amen? But there are just three things that I want to bring out in these verses today to you for sake of time. First of all, I want to draw your attention to the availability of the spring. The availability of the spring. The Bible says in verse 17, Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well." Now, spring is a fountain or an issue of water. Now, in the desert where the children of Israel were, good, clean, pure drinking water was hard to come by. It really was. They were in the desert. They were in the wilderness. There was no water where they were at. Now, I remember when we were living in Pennsylvania, in Altoona, Pennsylvania, right after my wife and I got married, we started attending a church out in the rural Pennsylvania, and it was a place called Roaring Spring. And there was a paper factory in that town. And I tell you what, you knew it too, because when you drove through that town, I mean, the stench was incredible. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a city where there's a paper factory, but it smells bad. Mark, I think, has been. He's shaking his head. It's not a very good smell. And right in the middle of that city, there was a spring. It was called Roaring Spring. And people would go there, and they would fill they would go there with empty bottles, anything that they could find to fill up. And it was famous. I mean, this spring was famous in Pennsylvania. People would go there from all different kinds of places and stop there and fill up their water bottles with water. I mean, it was good water, too. It was wonderful water, and it was free. So, you know, I mean, people would instead of going to the store and buying bottled water, they would go and fill up their bottles with this Roaring Spring water. It was free, and it was good water, good, clear spring water. But, you know, the people of God, as they were traveling through the wilderness, I mean, they didn't have access to anything like that. I mean, they were out in the desert, dry and dusty, and there was nothing but dirt and sand. So in the wilderness, there was no springs of water. And if there were any, they were few and far between. And in the few places where there might have been water, the water was probably bitter, or they weren't able to drink it because the water was corrupt. And so they didn't have any real water that they could drink, any good water that they could drink. Now, not only did the Lord open up a spring of water for the people, the Bible says it was a well spring. And the water from that well springing up in the middle of the desert was more than enough to quench the thirst of an entire nation of people. We're talking about hundreds and thousands of people who were thirsty, who needed water, who needed something to drink, and God provided for that. It was a well of springing water springing up in the desert. Now, that's a lot of water. That's a lot of water to provide for a nation of people when you think about it. Now, there was even enough water coming from that wellspring, I believe, for all the animals too, to quench their thirst. And we're not just talking about a few small flocks of animals, you know, a few goats and a few sheep and a few cattle here and there. No, we're talking about hundreds and thousands of sheep and cattle, huge herds of sheep and cattle. So, this was an amazing thing. Not only did God provide water for the people in the desert where there was no water, but He provided plenty of water for the people. There was more than enough to go around, and the people were able to drink, and the beasts were able to drink there. The people were able to quench their thirst at this spring. And the amazing thing about this spring, I guess the wonder of this spring, if you will, is the fact that God provided a well of water in a place where there was no water, in a place where it was desolate, dry, and barren. And I looked it up on the map, and I couldn't find any pictures of this place, but I looked it up on the map, and you know how some parts of the map are green and mountainous and all that, and other parts are brown, and you know it's you know, probably a desert. Well, this place was all brown. There was no green in it. And so there was no water in this place, but God miraculously provided for His people. The people were without water. They needed water to drink. There was no water for them at all where they were. And the fact that there was a spring of water in the desert, and a spring where there had been no water before, that was truly a miracle. We have been blessed in America. We don't have to worry about where our next drink of water is going to come from. We can have access to water, and it's a good thing, because we have to have water to live. We can't live without water. Now, we can live without coffee. Some of us may not think we can, but we can. And if the store runs out of pop tomorrow, we're not going to perish. We may think we're going to die, but we're not going to perish if the store runs out of pop tomorrow. We can survive without pop, but we cannot survive without water. Water is a necessity. We have to have water to live. We have to drink water in order to be healthy. And if we don't get enough water daily, the water that our bodies need daily, we're going to get dehydrated. The body needs about 3 quarts of water a day to operate efficiently. Water is necessary because it helps our bodies break up and soften food. Our blood, which is 90% water, carries nutrients to the cells. Water also regulates our body temperature through perspiration. It works as a cooling agent. Water is also a lubricant, and without its lubricating properties, our joints and muscles would grind and creak like the unused parts of an old rusty piece of machinery. Sometimes I feel like an old rusty piece of machinery. And I know most of it, it's not because I'm old, it's because I'm not drinking enough water. But without water, our bodies can't function right. And if we go too long without water, our bodies will eventually shut down and die. We need water to live. And it's no wonder that water in the Bible is a type of eternal life. It's a type of salvation. Turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter number 4. I've been preaching through the Gospel of John on the radio now for a long time. And we're finally getting down to where we're in chapter 20. And we're going to be preaching on the resurrection this coming Sunday. If all goes well, if the radio station gets the tape recorded and all that. But boy, what a blessing it's been to be able to preach through the Gospel of John and be able to study through this great book. And there's just so much in here. But I want to read to you this morning from the Gospel of John. We're talking about living water. We're talking about the spring of living water. We're talking about the water being a type of salvation. John chapter 4, let's read starting in verse 1. And I won't start reading until I stop hearing pages turn. I'm in no hurry this morning. John chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody there? Okay. Uh-oh. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his cattle, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The Samaritan woman here in this chapter came to the well that day with her water pot. And she was expecting to fill that water pot and quench her physical thirst. And when Jesus said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, and whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well, water springing up into everlasting life, she had no idea what he was talking about. She wanted to know more. And as Christ spoke to her that day about the living water, his words began to create a thirst in her soul. She said, Sir, give me this living water. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, even though she didn't understand what Jesus was saying to her, and even though she had material things in mind, even though she was thinking of physical water, deep down inside, this woman was longing for something that would satisfy her thirsty spirit. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 17 and verse 18, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. This Samaritan woman was a poor and needy sinner. She was dying of thirst, and physical water wasn't going to help her. She needed the living water that Jesus had spoken to her about, and she knew it. Oh, sure, she tried to tell Jesus how religious she was. She tried to tell Jesus, oh, I have my own religion and I can be close to God through my religion. But Jesus said, your religion doesn't mean a thing. He told her that He was the Messiah. He said He was the Christ. And the Bible says in verses 28 and 29 there, the woman left her water pot. She left her water pot right there at the well, and she went into the city, and she told the men there, hey, come see a man which told me everything that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She believed on Jesus Christ that day. She tasted the water of life. She drank from the spring of living water, and she was never the same. Her life was changed. And you know, that same spring is still open to sinners today. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God says, let the thirsty soul come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. All who are thirsty are invited to drink. All who are willing to drink from the spring of living water may drink freely and have eternal life and receive eternal life. I thank God for the day when, as a thirsty sinner, I came to drink of the well of salvation, to drink of the water of life. And I remember that day and how God quenched my thirsty soul with His living water. And I'll never forget that day and how God saved me. And you know, all a person has to do is come. God says, come and drink of the water of life. He invites those who are thirsty to come. And you know, the water there is cool and it's sweet. And best of all, it's free. It won't cost you a thing to drink from God's wellspring of salvation. The second thing I see in these verses, not only do we see the spring there, but we also see that the adequacy of the supply. We see the adequacy of the supply. The Bible says there in verse 11, they journeyed from Oboth. Now that word Oboth means bottles. Now I don't know if there was any water in their bottles when the people left Oboth. But I do know when they got to Beer, whatever bottles they were carrying were empty. And I also know this, when the people left Beer, their bottles were full. Their bottles were full of water. You say, who filled their bottles up? God did. God filled them up. Not only did the Lord make the water available to the people, but He also made that supply of water more than adequate to quench the people's thirst. There was plenty of water to go around. There was no shortage of water in the Israelite camp, that's for sure. Everyone got their cup filled. And you know, there's still plenty of living water in God's well of salvation to satisfy every thirsty soul in this world, from Barrow to the Bahamas, from Alaska to Africa, and all the world over. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your bottle full? When was the last time God filled your cup to overflowing? God's well of living water will never run dry. The living water that Jesus gives will continue to satisfy the believer moment by moment and day after day. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The salvation that comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ refreshes the believer like the flowing rivers refresh a land that it flows through. The person who partakes of God's living water will have a spring opened up inside of them, a replenishing, refreshing, renewing fountain that will never, ever run dry. When Jesus said, out of the believer's belly shall flow rivers of living water, He was talking about the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. See, the moment a sinner partakes of the water of life, God's Holy Spirit indwells that believer. The Holy Spirit comes and makes His abode with that believer. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We as believers in Christ possess rivers of living water. And because we have those wells of water springing up within us, God wants us to be channels through which others can be blessed. That's why we need to be careful not to let anything clog or stop up those channels. God wants those channels kept open. When we allow things into our lives that grieve God's Holy Spirit, His Spirit is quenched. And our usefulness as channels through which God's blessings can flow becomes restricted. See, God doesn't want us to be full of the world. God doesn't want us to be full of care. God doesn't want us to be full of anything that is temporal. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. And the Spirit accomplishes this ministry through the lives of born-again believers who are completely yielded to God and willing every day to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him. Only God knows what can be accomplished through the life of a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. I mean, the possibilities are limitless. The supply of God's power in the life of the believer to be a channel through which His blessings can flow is a more than adequate supply. Lastly, there's just one more thing I want to show you in these verses. I want you to see in these verses this morning just one more thing, and that is the amiability of their song. The amiability of their song. The Bible says in verse 17, Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." God's people sang a song of praise to Him, and boy, what a lovely song it was. I can just imagine their voices blending together and the song reverberating out throughout the congregation. "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." In chapter 20, when there was no water for the people to drink, the Bible says the people chode with Moses and Aaron because there was no water for them to drink. They weren't singing then. Now, they weren't praising God then. Now, that word chode is an old English word, and that means to contend or to quarrel with. It's not a word we hear used a lot today. If you said to somebody, "I chode with my wife today," they would probably look at you funny because they wouldn't know what you were talking about. It's not a word that's used a lot today. But the children of Israel contended with Moses and Aaron because they were thirsty. They needed water to drink. There was no water for them to drink. And of course, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before God, and God told Moses to gather the people together, just like He told him to gather the people together here in chapter 21. And God told Moses to speak to the rock, and the rock would bring forth water. But Moses got angry, got mad, he lost his temper, and he smote the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock. And God told him because of his failure to obey that he was not going to be allowed to enter into the promised land. He saw it from afar, but he was not allowed to enter into it. So that whole chapter 20 was just a mess. I mean, it was a terrible thing that happened. But what a difference we see in the attitudes of God's people here in chapter 1 compared to chapter 20. In chapter 20, the people were fighting with one another. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They weren't getting along at all. The people were mad at Moses. Moses was angry with the people. And it was just a mess. But in chapter 21, notice the change in their attitude toward one another. The Bible says there, and let me get back to where I need to be, in Numbers chapter 21 again, and I'm almost done. Thank you for being patient with me, especially through the singing part, but I'm almost done, I'm almost finished. But in chapter 21, notice the change in their attitude towards one another. The Bible says in verse 18, "The princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matanah." Whereas before in chapter 20, they were fighting against each other. They were bickering with each other. They were complaining. They were murmuring. Now here in chapter 21, we see them working together. See, because their attitude toward God had changed, because they were now singing praises to Him instead of complaining, instead of murmuring, their attitude towards one another had changed. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in Him. I will not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. See, when our relationship with God is right, then our relationship with others can be right. When we're singing praises to God, when we're rejoicing in the Lord and all that He has done for us, when we think about His salvation and we begin to sing and praise His name for the good things that He has done for us, you know what? It'll be easy for us to be able to get along with one another. The people received the water from the spring with joy and thankfulness. They worshiped the Lord. They were careful to give the honor and glory that was due His marvelous name. And even before God had answered their prayers and provided for their needs, they made their love and appreciation for Him known in song. They sang with all their hearts, "Spring up, O well." God said in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 20 and 21, "I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Does God's wellspring of water, does God's wellspring of living water spring up in your soul? Can you sing to it and mean it? "Spring up, O well." Is that your prayer this morning? Is your cup full? Are your channels open this morning? Maybe the flow of God's blessings through you has been stopped. God wants those channels kept open. What are you full of today? God wants you to be full of His Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for, Lord, the living water, Lord, that You have given to us, Lord. We'd still be out in the desert today thirsting if You had not given us Your living water. And Lord, brought us, Lord, into the land of blessing. And Lord, we thank You so much for salvation. And Lord, that it is free. And that it doesn't cost us a thing, Lord, to come and to drink from Your wellspring of living water. And Lord, I pray that You would allow us, Lord, to be channels through which the rivers of living water can flow, so that others, Lord, can see our lives and know our testimony, hear the words that we speak, see the things that we do, and come to know You as their Savior as well. There are so many people in this town and all over the world that are thirsting, just like that Samaritan woman was thirsting. She thought she needed physical water, but what she needed was the living water that only Jesus could give her. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be mindful of those around us, those who are thirsting, those who are perishing from thirst, Lord, all around us. I pray that You'd be mindful of those, help us to be mindful of those people, Lord, and help us to be channels through which Your blessings can flow so that we can be a blessing to others, Lord, so that we can point others to Christ. In Your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming. God bless you, everyone.